Welcome to the Journey to the New Earth podcast, where we invite you into our motivating and fun community to safely share ideas on raising consciousness and creating new systems that support humanity and Earth as a whole. We'll dive deep with fascinating interviews about near-death experiences, the world of psychics, mediums, and how channeling affects our modern lives, all while exploring where we are, what isn't working, and what we can do to facilitate the evolution of humans on a local, global, and galactic scale. Now here's your host, Kimberly.
Today we're talking with channeler and author Jesse Herman. Welcome in, Jesse. So nice to talk with you.
So nice to speak with you too.
Yeah, well, I want to tell you, I'm a fangirl already. Jesse lives in Milan, so she's living all of our secret life. How's life in Italy for you these days?
It's, you know, I don't think I could ever leave because I really love the food. So, you know, you're kind of stuck once you have food of this quality. And I really like the Italian view that, you know, you're here to have a good time, to enjoy, to live your life. So that's definitely a cultural aspect that I'm really keen on and really does enrich my own life.
Yeah, definitely not the same sense of rat race that maybe we get in Western cultures.
Yeah, that's possible. I agree with that.
Yeah, good. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about your journey. And every journey starts with being born here in this reality system called Earth. So can you take us back to what was life for you before this channeling began? And how does a nice girl like you end up living in Milan and channeling a collective?
Okay, so that's a 40-year long story. So I was born in Montreal, Canada. And on the English side of town, as you know, Canada is bilingual, especially Montreal. And so growing up there, you know, the community was very isolated from, you know, the broader world. And English was the main language, but in Montreal, French was, you know, the predominant language. So we were kind of a little bit cut off from everything. And just quite a entertaining childhood. I had everything I could possibly wanted. And I had, you know, a great family. But I also had some unusual experiences as a kid. I would see things. Now I understand that perhaps they were ghosts or aliens, or I had some interactions with, you know, being a contactee, or I don't know what, you know, terminology people like to use. I wouldn't say abducted, because I don't feel ever that it was like against will. And so that was not really accepted by the people around me as a little kid. I was the one with too much imagination. I was the kid that was a little bit weird, the kid that nobody could understand. And so it was something that I decided to shut down, to shut off, you know, that part of me, just to not talk about it. Because every time I did, it was some sort of issue with the people around me. And, you know, all of us as children, we want love. We don't want to be seen as different. We don't want to be seen as problematic. So going into my teens, probably I had a little bit of a rough patch. You know, I was quite a rebel and wanted to get out of there as soon as possible. But my, I'd say, extrasensory gifts and such didn't start coming back online until I was pregnant with my first child. And during the pregnancy, I think pregnancy is amazing because you're imbued with two consciousnesses at the same time. And, you know, I think all mothers are quite sensitive and you really do have this energy running through your body. So it's like having a guest in your house. And I had a bit of like a traumatic birth experience with my daughter. And then afterwards, I just didn't have time with a newborn around to go into therapy. So I said, you know what? I've heard lots about this meditation thing.
So here it starts.
I started meditating to try to feel better, you know, to try to get out of that loop of anxiety that I was left with after the traumatic experience and be a better mom, basically, so I could be more present. And so I wasn't, you know, having some of the symptoms I was having of being a little bit shaken from that. So I started meditating on a daily basis first, you know, 3 minutes at a time, 5 minutes at a time. And I didn't think I was getting it. And I didn't know what it was doing and if it was helpful or anything like that. And that continued for years. And I began to really enjoy it. You know, I got to a point where I was really like looking forward to meditating. And it was like my time for me, you know. Later on, I started to explore a bit of spirituality. Someone had lent me a copy of The Secret, which was Rhonda Byrne's book. And I was like, what? This is great. You know, this is great. This is
a secret.
Exactly. I was like, wow, really? This is so cool. So I played a little bit with that, which obviously led to Abraham Hicks and the Law of Attraction. And it was funny because I was watching Abraham Hicks, and I think it was something like, we're not listening, I was listening to it because I was painting at the time a lot. So I was listening to it, and I hadn't looked at anything about underneath it for I think like 4 or 5 months. So I was listening to it regularly while painting, or in downtime while cooking or something like that. And then I looked at the screen and I'm like, oh well, yeah, no, it's this woman, and she'd been talking in the plural, and she'd been talking about Abraham all this time. I was aware of that, and then I was like, is this like a company or something? Is this like, is she like a representative of
Who's the we? Who's the
Yeah,
we?
who is she talking about? Exactly. And then I was like, oh no, that's weird. So I hadn't, at that point, I hadn't heard about challenge. And it didn't put me off too much. I was like, okay, to each his own, kind of thing. But and I that was my introduction to channeling, basically, because I hadn't really known about it.
And I think Esther is such a great introduction because she looks like your aunt.
Yes, she does.
She's very approachable, and you think, I saw her in Penny's last week. I swear I
Yes,
did.
exactly.
So it's a safe place. It's a safe place to
Exactly.
be introduced to it.
And yeah, and like Abraham, the sense of humor and like just the energy with it, like it's really a great energy. And then I started exploring other things. Things would come up after on YouTube, re recommended whatever. And I started exploring non-dualism, and other Indian background wisdoms, and it all was connecting. It was all the same stuff, right? And then my head started moving in meditation, much like Abraham's had, or sorry, Esther's had when she was first channeling Abraham. And I was like, no, I'm not gonna do this. We're not doing this.
This is
So,
a bridge too far.
yeah. So for about 2 years, I had stopped meditating. And then after that, I got so frustrated with this call, this like this energy, this push that was saying, no, you take the next step, take the next step, go. It's okay, it's safe. I was so annoyed, and it was my 40th birthday, and this is, it's obviously all symbolic now, but it was my 40th birthday, and I was like, that's it. I'm not like, we are not going on with this. And at this point, I'm already talking to myself, so I know I'm going crazy, right? Like, we're not doing this anymore. I will prove to you once and for all, I'm not able to do what it is you're asking me to do. And I didn't even really know what they were asking me to do, but I got like a voice recorder on my phone. And I lay down. I went, okay, I'll go into meditation, and like, no, I'll take off the stop switch. I'll take off. I'll switch the light switch on, and I'll prove to you've got the wrong girl. You've got the wrong person. And 20 minutes later, my alarm goes off, and I go to look at the recording,
Ah.
and there is Vagrian. And so, that's the end of the chapter one. And
I'll bet you the minute that happened, the pushing stopped.
the pushing stopped. Yeah, this pushing's
All of a
absolutely
sudden,
gone.
it's silent. It's like,
It's
okay, girl, we're on the road.
that's right. Yeah, there's no stress pushing. There's actually a lot less. I had a lot of physical symptoms as well, which have all cleared since then. I don't think they were directly related, but I was definitely so filling myself with resistance to my calling that of course you're going to manifest that as illness or as unwellness at some point or other. Just not listening to yourself. So of course it's not necessarily because I was going to be a channel, but it was because I was holding on to a ton of resistance.
So I want to ask you, now you're down the road a little bit, you've been channeling, you might be more comfortable with it. I don't know. Maybe it's just you feel like you have to do it. Don't you, or would you say that this is an agreement you made before you incarnated? Like, okay, I'll go in there and I'll do that. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I think definitely it must be because it wasn't not only wasn't a choice, everything's a choice, but it's more along the lines of, well, of course this is what it always was. Like there's no sort of like, oh, well, it could have been something else. It's very much familiar, very much regular, very much just not an identity thing. I wouldn't say it's who I am because I'm not still not sure who I am. That's the beauty of being alive. We get to keep discovering that. But it's definitely what's meant to be going on in this now for this particular incarnation.
Yeah, I think that you little souls that have decided to do this are so brave.
There's so many. I mean, I look at other people and I'm like, that's way braver than this.
It's a matter of perspective. So here you are, a nice girl from Canada, and all of a sudden you're channeling a collective. How do you wake up in the morning and think, okay, this is my life now? And then how do you integrate that with your friends and family who are like, are you kidding? This is what you're doing now?
That was a concern, of course. And I expected, like pushback. Like I not even pushback, but like people being, weirded out by it or saying something or, anything like that. And almost the most annoying thing about it was that everyone I then came out to, it's kind of like a coming out, was then like, yeah, of course you're like super weird and spiritual and
We would
have like
expect nothing
superpowers. And
else.
I'm like, excuse me. And they're like, well, we knew that. Like, you've always been able to see the future and stuff. And I'm like, why is it like I spent all this time with this resistance, like trying to be normal, and yet I wasn't fooling anybody? It's like they knew.
Yeah.
But
So
so it
apparently you're only fooling yourself.
I was only fooling myself. And yeah, things shifted in my life. Like, because, the more you come into alignment with yourself, the more the rest of your life will, arrange around the alignment that is appropriate for you. So really, some relationships ended, some relationships changed, some relationships, I ended up setting boundaries, or they dissolved, or I decided that, they were meant to change. And then, that's okay. But the fear was gone of that occurring. It was more like a natural evolution of that. And every change since then has been definitely something that's just been a case of like, okay, now I know what the not the doing of the channeling, but now I know sort of like what is aligned for me, what alignment feels like. So now I can sort of like adjust the other things to get into the slipstream as well, So you adjust your health, you adjust the way, I mean, I've got all this wine behind me, I don't drink anymore. That's why it's all still behind me. So,
It's just
it's
for
a beautiful
looks.
decoration. But it's not necessarily what's in alignment for me to be, drinking at every meal, or even ever getting, I mean, I can't get drunk. Like, I don't sleep that night if I get drunk. So there's no, that just doesn't ever happen anymore. I won't allow it. So like one glass of wine maybe a month is like what I'm at now. And it's not even hard, because as you get aligned, it's like, okay, this is what feels good. It
Yeah.
feels good to live my life like this.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
you were living in Italy when this started.
Yeah.
And how I've lived in Italy for a very brief period of time. It's a lovely culture. I'm really a fangirl of your lifestyle. How is it different? How's the culture there with this type of activity or information? Are they open to it? Is this something that's kind of ingrained in the history of the culture?
Well, the truth is, I don't have a great window into that question, because I have had, I think, two Italian clients over the course of my work. So literally everybody I work with is in North America, Australia, Denmark, China. I mean, I have, all of my bills go out to everywhere in the world, and my accountant's like, I wouldn't be surprised if like you get audited, because they're not going to believe that someone has no business, on the in the territory, I'm like, okay, well, that'll happen. They can contact my clients. It's not a problem. But it's interesting, because it hasn't been picked, like at least what I do hasn't been picked up. And I do actually channel also in Italian. So there, the
Wow.
availability is there. But it's not something I go ahead and market, because it takes a lot more effort. I feel like there's not that natural opening, and the audience isn't naturally looking for these types of things. So they're not necessarily coming upon me as easily as my North American clients, or British clients, etc.
It just came up for me. It's like it's curious to me that it seems like the more Western cultures are hooked into this channeling thing, and we're seeing, I feel like the cavalry is here. We're just seeing a lot of off-planet support or help or information. I'm wondering, I'm curious about that because Italy is an older culture, and maybe they have an innate knowing that doesn't push them the same way as the newer cultures do. I don't know if that has any
Well, it
validity
is
to it.
a country that's still very strongly Catholic, and Catholicism does frown upon channeling or prophesizing or any sort of tapping into something directly. There
Yeah.
is sort of that route that you have to go through. You have to go through the church to arrive at God, and channeling can be seen as a bypass system, either whether it's even internal, like Evagrian will always be telling you to like tune into your own self, tune into your own guides, before you go and you hang out with a channel. Like, we can only point you back to yourself anyway. So it's
Yeah.
very much a different modality. And this particular part of the world is still very much culturally, not necessarily even religiously, but culturally modeled towards that sort of, if you have a problem, you either go to your mom or you go to the church. You know, it's like really that's all there is. There's no internal guidance or, you know, seeking within. So it's different. And, you know, I guess like North America and some other places in the world, there's less of a connection to organized religion still. And people are looking for their own answers in different places. You know, even the New Age movement has always been in spaces that are not strongly indoctrinated by organized religion.
Yeah. You know, you brought up something that I just have such a, I key into, and that is that meditation is the gateway drug to all these things happening in your life. And so often I've talked to so many people, and it happened for me too. Once you start meditating, even if it doesn't feel like, I don't know if I'm getting there. I don't know if I've shut my mind up. I don't know if I'm there yet. All these experiences will start happening to you as a result of that. My question for you is, it led to channeling. Do you have other abilities? In other words, did it open up your senses to connect with people who are no longer in physical, or to have more psychic abilities? How is it fleshed out in a broader way than just the channeling?
Yeah, so it definitely, so when I was a kid, like I said, back in the day, I did have a bit of like, what I could call like haunting, like unwelcomed experiences with spirits. I mean, I haven't looked into this sort of thing enough to have the right vocabulary, but like ghosts, basically, as a kid. And then when I was meditating before the channeling started, I did have an experience with a friend of mine had passed on, and he at all costs wanted to, you know, contact his mother, who I didn't know aside from the fact that I'd met her when I was a kid, you know. And so there was this whole thing, and he was hanging around all the time, and a haunting, a pleasant haunting, but he was there. And so eventually when I did, you know, agree to, you know, him wanting me to contact his mother and tell his mother he was okay, then that subsided. And I did actually, you know, eventually meet this woman, and we had a lovely meal and talked about it, and I shared a gift with her. And so it was, that definitely opened up more. So it's like you have a light switch on and off, and meditation helps you turn on that light switch. So anything you naturally have access to will probably come back, but you'll be able to learn how to maybe wield it in a different way. So, you know, I don't channel any people whose relatives have, like the relatives that have passed on or anything like that. I'm not into that vibrational frequency. I've only ever been visited by people I've known once or twice in circumstances where it makes sense that they would want to contact their relatives, but I won't go the other way around. I won't like go to a living person and say like, hey, do you want to talk to your dead cousin? Because the truth is if that spirit being isn't hanging around for a specific reason, well, then they're fine. You know, they've moved on. They're doing their thing. It's the human that needs to heal or mourn or whatever it is. And then I have since also started doing pranic healing. So I do have this psychic ability to scan people's systems now and figure out what's going on in a system, both energetically, emotionally, and physically, and help clear that, help them to clear that. Because again, healing is very much an inside job. So I can, you know, do a scan for you and say like, hey, it looks like there's something going on here, give you the information, you then have to go reflect on it and decide what you're going to investigate to do with that information. So that's another one of the things that I offer, and one of the things that has come out of, you know, me opening up to my, I guess, psychic gifts or spiritual gifts, whatever you would call them.
Clearly, we're in a crossroads here on the planet. Lots is going on. And because you have expanded awareness, how do you integrate what you learn from Vagrian and what you see around you? I mean, how are you navigating this, and what's really going on the planet?
Okay, so Vagrian is very insistent in us accepting our human self. And that includes all of our fears, anxieties, distortions, et cetera, because without accepting these things, you can't clear them, okay? So I admit that if I look out the window at the world at the moment and I see the information that is offered back to me, that I have opinions, biases, and fears about it. I have preoccupations, I have theories, I have everything everybody has, right? I have all the human stuff that we have when we say, oh my God, the world is on fire, right? Vagrian, though, continually also through their transmissions, like the what I absorb from the transmissions they're giving to other people, brings me back to the knowing that all is well. Now, that all is well does not mean all is well based upon my particular individual human preferences. My human preferences are only my human preferences, right? Anytime you're seeing a conflict between two people, both of those people have valid preferences. Both of those people have valid desires, valid needs, valid wants, valid everything, right? Now, you might have a situation where something works out great for one person because they're in a high vibration, but also the other person's in a high vibration and it doesn't work out so great for them, right? Their preferences don't get met, but everything still is perfect, right? So I get calmed down both by Vagrian and calmed down myself by remembering that even if I have preferences, it's okay if those preferences aren't fulfilled. Because if they're not fulfilled, something else wonderful in the form of human consciousness experiencing itself is what is occurring, right? So even though we're looking at the world a little bit on fire and old themes coming up again and new themes and fears and blah, 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 what we're actually looking at is the next greatest, most expansive opportunity that humanity has ever had. And that's always where we are in the timeline. We're always at the edge of consciousness. We're always at the next big change, right? So at that point, your preferences become information for you to then make choices, right? So if my preference is peace on earth, okay, which is one of them. Okay, I'd love that. That would be
Yeah,
awesome.
that's one of mine too. That's on my
Okay.
list.
Okay, so but it's not everyone's. It's not
No, it's
everyone's, okay?
not.
It's
It's
not, and that's
not.
okay too. Like being in the space that Vagrian gives us is like the going, okay, that other person's preference is also it's okay. And then you can kind of calm yourself and you could go, okay, even if that is never achieved, even if the exact opposite of that is achieved, it's okay because I still get to be that now. I can every moment in my day reach for that and achieve it in some small way. My existence, my pinhole perspective on the universe is valid in that in every moment I have the choice. So, horrific situation. Someone shows up your door and they have a rifle in your face and they're saying, "Kill this other person or I'm going to kill you." Well, the peace on earth choice in that moment is, okay, kill me. Right.
Yeah.
And if you're in a space of peace where it's all okay, right, then all that you need to do is keep checking in with you and going, well, what do I really want? What do I really want? And is my behavior, is my view, is my everything aligning with what I want? And wherever it isn't, because we're not perfect, right? Realign, readjust, clear out more of the stuff, you know? There are some times when I'm like, I can't stand these people. Now, that's not the energy of peace on earth, right? Like, that's just not.
Okay, I have a question for you because I think
Yes.
about this more than any human should. So I
Okay.
have these little fantasies about all of us, our higher selves, getting together while we're all sleeping, saying, "All right, how about if we do this or do this?" My question is, there's so many forces driving the human collective right now. I'm with you. I want peace on earth, incredible creativity, unity consciousness. What can we do when we all work together? I'm interested in going in this direction to really expand the human potential. There's other people that say, no, we're not done mixing it up. We still want to have conflict. It's gritty, it's real, it's kind of fun, it's challenging. So they're saying, let's have some wars, some more wars. And I'm like, we have so done that. That is so boring. Let's move on. So we have these two opposing positions about what sounds like fun, because really we just incarnate into this little reality system to mix it up, to have these experiences, to see what happens when I do this. I poke the bear, what happens? So how do you see it fleshing out? For me, I want to go over here, unity consciousness, super creativity, the expansion of humanity. This group wants to like mix it up, which is equally valid. They get to pick. How do we move forward as a collective when there's such an opposing idea of what the next best step is?
Well, I'm not entirely sure we do. I mean, that's the bad news. I'm not sure we do move forward as a collective. Like, I don't know. What I do know is that even the people who want to mix things up, right, on their highest level, like their higher self level, right, they've come in as volunteers. They've been like, I'm going to be the one with the stick to poke the bear. Now, that's going to make me look like the bad guy. That's going to make me sacrifice my own expansion temporarily, because maybe in this lifetime there won't be any expansion. There won't be any self-reflection. There won't be, the people who are very much poking the bears, don't have much opportunity for self-reflection. They don't have much opportunity to heal their wounds. They're in a different position, right? And I'm not saying it's a worse position. I'm saying they are volunteers for that particular job, but they're volunteers for you and I, who do say what we want is unity consciousness. Because in that poking of the bear, we're challenged. Hey, we're like, oh, I totally want to see this person as separate. I want to see them as different than me, as outside of me, as far away. And you know what? If they didn't exist, we'd all be better off. Now, that is not the mentality of unity consciousness, right? So you don't have to go and like, go like, okay, here, put the stick in deeper, because we are still humans, right? Like, you do have to at some point go, okay, there are energetic boundaries and I can be loving, but also, you know, prevent myself from harm. But at the same time, can you hold the light? Can you hold that desire for collaboration? Can you see that person as your collaborator? Can you remember a past life, a present life, a parallel life in which you are the one holding the stick?
Oh, yeah.
And can you see how it's a beautiful dance that that is there as the opportunity for you to rise above it, right? And it really is rising above it, but bringing it to humanity as well, right? I don't think we're here to ascend. I really don't. I don't think we came here to go like, okay, yes, please, let's get back to heaven. I don't think that there's some sort of judgment watching us. I think we're actually here because we're creative. And because we've decided, I want to bring heaven down to earth. I want to have I want to have a physical experience of how good it feels to be light. And then, you know, let's see how it goes. But I don't know, honestly, if as a collective, that's the decision we're going to be making. And I think part of also being, having that preference and wanting to work towards that means accepting that that might not be the case. And then also feeling all the sorrow that can come up from that, you know, because sorrow too is something that's preventing you from your light. So feeling like, maybe we're going to go the way of the dinosaurs. Like they did. Why not us? You know?
Yeah.
And go like, that kind of sucks. But knowing that you're an eternal being anyway means that, okay, so there's some other opportunity for creation, whether in this life, in this now moment, or, you know, in some other experience of isness.
And then I think, okay, so maybe it does go the way, like you said, of the dinosaurs. We blow each other up and then we all go, okay, well, we learned a lot. We learned regardless of the direction. I mean, we can have a preference, but the learning never ends. Even if I've got the guy with the shotgun in my face, it's like, well, this is not an experience that I think I would have chosen, but I'm participating in it now and I'm going to learn something in the next 5 seconds.
That's right.
So I have one last question for you before we bring in the collective. How, you know, I look around me and when I see events happen on the planet, I think that they not only happen for the people that are involved at the first level of that experience, but it's also information for all of us. They're breadcrumbs, they're clues. You know, when I see channels come up, I'm looking around going, folks, this is a clue. We got a clue here. They're giving us clues. How do you see it that I feel like the cavalry is here? We have so much off-planet wisdom right now. There is so much our own innate abilities as humans are growing. I know that with me, my telepathy has just expanded over the last couple of years. I'm sure that your connection feels clear. Why do you think that we are such the apple of the eye right now of the whole galaxy? Why are so many people watching us? Why is this such an important time?
Well, I think first, because we've created for it to be, you know, off planet, on planet, it's all the same consciousness. So from our pinhole perspective, we humans are the ones creating all of this off planet energy, right? If you want to see it that way. I mean, if you know, you can only think about your life, right? So you've created the wars on Earth, you've created the off planet energy, you've created all the channels, you've created the fact that your telepathy has gotten broader. It's because we have a desire, right? And as Vagrin has said, that the only reason why they exist or are able to come through in this way is because of that calling, because of that request from the collective for something of this nature, right? And it's happened in other points in history. You know, there have been, you know, major turning points in history where You've had all kinds of prophets pop up. You've had all kinds of things going on. And the off-planet connection is because, again, that's something that we're definitely wanting. I don't actually see it any different than the expansion of AI, because AI too is another example or mirror of consciousness that will seem to be very different than us, right? And it will be presented in that sort of way. And then we get to figure out how we want to respond to it. So it's more sticks or more candies or whatever you want to say. It's more stimulus, right, for what we're going through. I also think that as there is everything in existence has its potential for existing, not only are we the apple of the eye, but we're the apple of the eye in this particular story, in this book. You know, we've opened to page 25 and this is the story that's going on and this is the experience that we're having. But there's a bookcase of a billion different books where there's no humans, where we are where there are dinosaurs, you know, or where there is something else going on, where we're the ones who are studying another being or system and giving our focus and attention. You know, there are stories right now where we're the ones trying to save the whales, right? Or whatever it is. And you got the whales getting around together and they're going like, why are we the center of the universe?
Yeah, why are they trying to save us? We're just fine.
Right. So it's like, you know, I think that there's so much going on. And again, it is like, okay, once you understand that there's so much going on, you have a more precious view of the specificness of what you're experiencing and witnessing, because then it goes, oh, you know, this is not insignificant. Like you said, everything's a clue. Everything's extremely significant because this is all the exact words that were written in this particular story, which is fascinating when you think about it. But we tend to go, eh, well, I'm not important. It's not important. I don't know, you know, what's on Netflix or whatever it is, and get very disenchanted with the miracles that our life story is ultimately.
Yeah. It definitely is an absolutely enchanting, fascinating story. When you really stop and look at it, it's like, this is
crazy.
This is pretty amazing.
I was writing it down in my journal yesterday morning. I was like, this is a cool computer game. Not only do I have to deal with like a physical vessel that I have to feed and make sure it gets enough rest and whatever, and then like monitor the levels of energy throughout a day, but also I have to deal with like the relationship part of the game, and I have to deal with this whole channeling thing of the game, and then I have to deal with like international politics side of the game, and then I have to deal with cats. Like, why is there a part of the game where there's like just a cat that lies on me and that I have to rub? Like, when you think about it from like how amazingly broad the game of your life is and how many levers there are to pull and switches there are to buttons to push and things to do in your day that you are day-to-day managing, and you're playing this game every day, whether you think you're playing it well or not, you're playing it.
I know. And this is
it's
so funny, because
so fascinating.
I think of myself as Mario, you know, boom, da-da-da-da-da. It's just like, okay, it is just an endless game, and it's fascinating.
It is fascinating. There's so much going on, right? And you can focus on any part of it. Like, I could tomorrow decide, okay, you know, now I'm going to be a health freak, and I'm going to study, you know, every bowel movement I have, and I'm going to like check the colors on a chart, and I'm going to figure out health, right? Or whatever. We can focus on whatever we want to focus on, whatever's interesting to us, and everything is equally valid. So that's really fun, you know.
Oh gosh, you put that so well. I just love hearing that. Thank you. Well, should we bring in Vagary in right now?
Sure,
and I'll ask
sure,
a few
sure.
questions, and then
absolutely.
Do I just ask for you to come back when
I don't know. You want to do what, 20 minutes or so?
Yeah, let's do about 20
minutes.
Okay,
so they should be able to monitor towards the end of it. But if you see it's coming to 20 minutes and you're like, oh, she's not coming back, then you just go ahead and say something.
So all right, thanks.
Questions or whatever. Okay.
Thanks, Jesse. Okay. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Yes. Takes a couple minutes to get his chance, but it shouldn't be long.
Okay.
Good now to you. We are pleased to be meeting with you in this fashion and are eager to discuss with you anything you so choose. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for your time today. I appreciate that.
We have no time, but we thank you as well.
I was just talking with Jesse about why Earth seems to be the focus of so much off-planet wisdom right now. And I kind of say, you know, the cavalry is here. There's so much help on the planet right now. Why is what is happening on Earth so important to the rest of the collective right now?
It is fascinating. You are, in some ways, an experiment. Not that you have been created by these aids, but you have been given free will. You have been given this idea of separation, and you have been given the desire to achieve unity or to feel yourselves as being connected. This is why throughout your history you have imagined yourself to be connected to deities. It is why you have imagined yourself to have higher powers, whether it be in the form of the rain or the planet itself or some imaginary being or otherwise who throws lightning bolts. You have this desire for connection, even with one another. You do couple in the ways that you do produce offspring through your own bodies. You are connected ultimately, but you have this ability to believe yourself not to be. There is a fascination with the moment in Earth, and this moment has long been coming. It is longer than you imagine. You can talk about it as you have done, as the Age of Aquarius, or this transformation into the new humanity, if that is your choice. And it is much like watching a sporting event. Who will win or what will win this event? Will you ultimately achieve your goal of understanding that you are one? Or will you continue along a route that does not support the understanding of one, even though you are being offered time and again the understanding of the consequences of continuing to choose separation? You do know that your species is running out of time in terms of living in a state of separation. You know that you have made choices out of separation in the past that have damaged your resources. You know that you have made choices out of separation in the past that have led to the deaths of many. You know that you have made choices that are leading you towards more and more discomfort. We are not saying that the discomfort is bad in and of itself, because the discomfort is what eventually asks you to get up from the couch and to go have a walk around your lounge, for example. If you were entirely comfortable, you would stay exactly where you were at all times. So discomfort is part of the human experience. Catalyst is part of the human experience in order to stimulate you more towards what your true desires are. We are interested in seeing what you will do with your desires, whether or not you believe in yourselves, whether or not you remember that you are ultimately consciousness that has had the blessing or the choice to come into physical form.
When you say that humanity is running out of time with our choices for separation, can you explain more what you mean by that?
Yes, well, you have bared witness to many potentials for the end of your species. It would take two people pressing a button in this now moment for you to have nuclear warfare, for example. Or you are depleting resources at a high level, your waters are becoming contaminated, you are choosing to have the experience of abusing your beautiful planet that has provided you with food, that has provided you with clean air, that has provided you with nourishment, and you will eventually not have that ability any longer.
If I was just talking with Jesse about, my preference or some preferences would be for a moving into a unity consciousness, peaceful, creative, more easy on humanity. And then there's other people on the planet that are still really interested in the mixing it up, in the experience of conflict, in the experience of control and power. How do we come together on that? Or what happens to those of us who are looking more for a unity consciousness when the control energy becomes greater than ours?
In what way? What do you mean? What happens?
How do we settle it out? In other words, those of us who are interested in more unity consciousness, more peaceful experience, how do we move forward if it becomes more of a control and destructive environment?
Well, the offering from the controlling or destructive environment is always a recruiting energy. In other words, it is attempting to have you step into a place where you are in so much discomfort that instead of rising to the occasion, you crumble within it. And you yourself become more controlling, or you yourself become dog eat dog, man eat man type of mentality. You always do have, however, the other option of not doing that and of remaining in your desire for unity consciousness. We are not saying it is an easy choice. In fact, it is not at all an easy choice, but it is exactly because it is not an easy choice that it is a virtuous one. Or we are not saying that it is better than another choice, but we are saying that it is the one that is more in alignment with what you truly desire. This does not, however, mean that on a physical human level that it will be easy for you, or that there will not be some level of loss or suffering.
What is the, when we talk to someone like, a collective like you, a consciousness like you, Do you guys have a favorite outcome? Are you rooting for a particular outcome? Do you have a choice or a preference on how things do pan out here on Earth?
We are in a space of consciousness that does already understand the concept of unity and does already see your experiencing as a unified one, including all of the contrasts that you are experiencing. So we definitely have a bias towards you receiving and arriving at this same conclusion because many of you are in a state of saying that you are suffering, that there is pain, that there is anguish, that there is difficulty, that there is horror. And the solution out of that is that unity. So even those of you who are controlling, even those of you who are fighting, even those of you who are causing some disruption or wanting some level of energy that can be perceived as coming from separation, the separation itself or the leaning upon the separation of self is only in place because of the deep desire for unity. It seems paradoxical, and it is in many ways, but it is the sadness and the fear and the horror that perhaps you are alone that causes you to make choices into controlling others, that causes you to make choices into, I must kill this one or they will kill me, that causes you to make the choices that then leads you into an experience in which you are indeed separate from the other. So, to avoid that, the direction that we root for, your direction that we root for, would be to step outside and above it entirely. And that when there is fear that perhaps you are alone, to remember your connectedness. When there is fear that perhaps you are controlled or controlling or are being placed in situations that are beyond your free will, to remember that your free will may not be the situation that you are experiencing on your physical level, but it certainly is the way you feel about it. That you always have sovereignty and power over your isness itself. Even yes, in life-threatening situations, even yes, in situations where things are not fair or just or unified.
You had stated earlier that Earth is an experiment, and I've heard that we've heard that, and it's interesting to me. Why was this experiment put into place, and why were the decisions made for the amnesia when we come in, the sense of separation, the application of free will? How did this all come about, and what was the point and the purpose of this particular experiment?
The point and the purpose for this experiment is to see what would happen. The reason it was put into place, and not was put into place as a third party, but you yourselves are the volunteers for this experiment. You do have awareness before you come that this is what will occur. And you yourself say to yourselves, as you each take the controller of the consciousness that you are individuating as, and you say to yourself, ha ha, I will be the one who will remember. Ha ha, I will be the one who will achieve the goal or reach the end level of this. And you then come and forget. And that is okay because it is part of the game. You knew as you were beginning to play that you were forget. But each of you has this desire to remember, to see if you will be the one who wins the level. And some of you do.
So it's kind of a challenge to see if we can come into an environment and awaken our way back. Is
Yes.
that correct?
It is much the same reason that you have your alpinists that climb very large mountains, and some of them do not survive that climb. But they are all in it for the thrill. They do train for it. They do pack their bags and their equipment very meticulously so as to be able to do what they can to get as high as they can to make it to base camp, so to speak, to see what it is like to be at the top of the mountain and then to climb back down. What is the experiment in that? It is the challenge of self. It is the, I would like to see if I am able to go into this harsh environment and to survive it, and not only survive it, thrive it and conquer it in the ways that are based upon my desire. In the case of your mountain climber, it is the getting to the top of the mountain. In the case of your human experience, it is the remembering your unity, even though it is almost entirely impossible to do so.
And it really is. And I would imagine, and you might be able to validate this, that before we incarnate, we think it's going to be a whole lot of fun.
Yes, indeed you do. So does the mountain climber who is heading up the mountain, but it is not so much fun in the moment that the avalanche buries him, is it?
No, but it's interesting.
Yes, indeed it is. It always is. And so are your lives. Your lives are completely interesting and would be entirely boring if there was no separation consciousness.
Yeah. That's true. This is that's a it's an interesting experiment, and it's an interesting reality system. I can attest to that.
Yes.
I have one last question for you, because here on Earth, those of us who are awake and aware to the fact that there's something going on, there's shifts and changes on the planet. We have choices to make. For those of us, and probably most of the people watching right now, are going to be, would probably say, I'm interested in unity. I'm interested on in a more peaceful planet. I'm interested in a cleaner planet. I'm interested in a cooperative attitude of those on the planet. I'm interested in creativity in a way that enhances humanity. What is the, because it is so challenging and difficult right now, and it seems like everywhere we look, there's a new, I don't know, you call it a problem here on Earth. How can we best position ourselves and move forward in order to affect that change in the direction of more of a unity consciousness and a more peaceful environment?
The majority of your isness is non-physical. Therefore, as you determine the things that you would like in your experience, focus not necessarily on the actions that you are taking, not necessarily on the things that you are doing. In other words, we are not saying that you must be an activist or that you must go out and spread messages unless that is exciting for you, in which case, by all means, go ahead. But when you've determined, for example, that you would like a cleaner planet, then make every endeavor in your own experiencing to live as if you were the model of the person who would have that cleaner planet be in its experiencing. In other words, it is not any longer the case that you should be using chemicals if that is what is desirable for you, or it is not any longer the case that you should be eating animals if you do not want to have animals suffering for the consumption of humans in the future. But it does not mean you should be saying to your sister-in-law that she should throw away her chemicals, or to your brother that he is a monster for eating a steak. Because in those moments, what you are doing is, yes, saying what it is you would like, but you are also seeing the other as separate from you, as opposed to understanding that you, in your life, have lots of power on an energetic level to live as example of what you would like in the future. So, if kindness is what you would like, you must make it a pact with yourself to be kind no matter what, unconditionally kind. If having good boundaries is what you want, you must have those boundaries no matter what occurs. If what you are wanting is cooperation, then cooperation is what you must display and show to others, even when it seems ridiculous to do so. So, you can live from the space of who you want to be. We will, however, say that this is not an easy feat, which is why every time you are distracted by something you have no control over, you are taking off the ability you have to deal with the things you do have control over. So keep yourself from distractions. Do not focus too much on the things that you cannot change or that you are not feeling able to change. If you are called to something, to a certain issue or topic, then go ahead and get yourself involved with it. But, for example, if you would like a peaceful world or a kind world, you can start. And we always use this same character in your experiencing as the object of our experimentation for you. You can always start with the checkier clerk at your local grocery store, because your kindness expressed to that being, because your love shared with that being, a compliment or a smile, is making the world better. And energetically, that has a trickle-on feeling. Trickle on experience and energy that goes on and on and on. The problem, or one of the issues with unity, separation consciousness, is that it is so powerful in its trickling. It only takes one horrendous act to get other people angry about it. And then the anger is already spreading. But if in the visioning of a beautiful act, you could get that energy to spread as well, then you will have the ability to impact the entire world.
Thank you. And thank you for your time today, Vagrant. Can we bring Jesse back?
Yes, we thank you, and we leave you with the light and the love of a thousand suns. A
Thank
night-night.
you. And she's back.
It's faster out.
So I have to ask you, do you feel, is it tiring for you when you bring the energy in? Does it make you feel better? Do you feel more energized?
It's very relaxing. I'd say, like during. I don't remember anything during really. And it's like simultaneously energizing and relaxing, like almost like refreshing. I'd say, like, you know, after you have a nap, but not like one of those naps where you wake up groggy, like one of those naps where you're like, oh yeah, that good. Now I can get the rest of my day done, you know, that kind of thing. So it's definitely a positive, on a feeling level, it's positive energy. I feel a little spacey after. I have to ground, like I have to either eat something or like go, you know, I'm in the process of accidentally killing all my plants. I don't know what's going on, but I have to like go be with my plants.
Was going to say, if you have to eat something, you are in the perfect place.
Scavenge in the fridge. I'll probably have some fruit now or something. But yeah, no, it's a very nice feeling. I'm blessed with that because I know there's some channels who, you know, they can only do a certain amount and then they're like drained and then they'll have physical repercussions or they'll get stiff. But I'm very, we have a good flow with my system.
And you know, I see it because I've been following Esther and Abraham Hicks for a while and looked at her older videos. I mean, it seems like our energy systems are adjusting to a higher frequency, and it's less disruptive for channels to bring in a higher frequency. If I was you, this is what I would, and I'm wondering if you do this. It's like the days that you just aren't feeling it, do you ever say, hey, give me a little shot of some good stuff?
No, you know what? I've come to the feeling what? Feeling the channeling or just energy?
Or just energy, like could you give
You
me
know
just a
what?
little bit of energy?
I don't do that. I'll tell you why I don't do that. Because the days I'm not feeling okay is my body telling me it's time for me to have a pause. And I have learned to, like, we're totally in sync now. Like, I mean, even today I worked this morning and then I was like, oh, it's 11:30. I'm gonna eat something quick and I'm just gonna go to bed now. Can I just go to bed at 11:30 in the middle of the day? I don't have meetings. You know, yes, I could push myself. Yes, I could produce five more YouTube videos. Yes, I could do this. Yes, but you know what? It's all gonna go much better later in the day. There's all gonna be much more flow if I just listen to myself. And that is one of the beautiful things Valgrind's allowed me. You know, it's funny, when I finished the first book, they were like, well, this is a book, so now you don't have to do anything else ever. I was like, what do you mean? They're like, well, you like this is gonna last longer than you. You're done. I was like, but I'm not done. They're like, everything else is bonus. They were like, you did your job. I was like, oh my God, like my
Oh my
worthiness
God.
thing is over. Like I'm done. I'm like, this is great. I can do whatever I want now.
I might feel a little at loose ends, like what?
Exactly. And you kind of go, oh my God, wow, that's interesting. You know, like first of all, they don't think anyone has like something they have to accomplish anyway. But it was like kind of like a plain joking thing. Like, listen, you can let go of that thing where you're like trying to achieve something all the time. The whole all the trying you can let go of it. And I was like, wow, well that's a great even like mind game to play with yourself because if you're done, then you have the freedom to do really whatever you want. And in my case, what I wanted apparently was to do way more. So that's just what's happening.
It almost frees you up to step into a really bigger, greater version of yourself because now you have no expectations except what sounds fun.
That's right. And then what sounds fun off like most probably 100% of the time leads you to the next biggest version of you because you're gonna get inspirations and the inspirations are gonna sound crazy. Like that's just how it is. It's gonna be like, who am I to do this, that, or the other thing, right? And the who am I to do this, that, and the other thing, if you don't go like, oh no, I couldn't do that because I'm whatever I am, you go, well, I'm allowed to mess up. I'm allowed to mess up. I did everything I need to do, so now I can just mess up. You know, that gives you so much freedom. And I'm really big on finding the framing of life that gives you the most freedom, right? So another one of these things is I've been saying for, I don't even know where this came from. I've been saying for years now, I'm gonna live until the year 2100. Like that's the year. Okay, so I'll be 120 and that's the year I'm gonna go, right? Now, just like continuing to repeat that, whether it's true or not, first of all, who cares if it's true, right? But whether it's true or not, it frees me up to this idea of like, right, I don't need to worry about like health things, even if they come up. Like, of course, that's not what's going to be the problem. You know, ultimately, I did have like a health issue last year. And so if you find the thing that makes you feel free, just the feeling free is freedom. And that's just amazing.
And that spreads to other
It
people
does.
because you just glow with it. Tell us a little bit about your books and the work you're doing now and how we find out more about you.
Yes. Okay. So I have two books. They're both channeled books. The first is called Vagrian Seeking Ends When Sharing Begins. Oh, it's not on camera. I'll grab it.
Can
Put
you
that
grab it?
there. And that's the white one because I got a white one and a black one. So they look almost the same.
I love that title. Seeking ends when sharing begins.
Yeah,
That
and it's
is.
explained in the book. It's quite an interesting story around that. And that is how I came to channel Vagrian, but it's also organized in a way that there's chapters, and the chapters are on all of our topics, you know, the money, health, relationships, children, how to find your calling, how to find your purpose, how to meet your purpose, what knowing is, what your body is, et cetera, death even. It's got everything. So it's really broken down to chapters, and it's very comprehensive. It's all channeled, and it's, I think, the first 6 months of my channeling work kind of shuffled back together, which is really interesting. And then I've got Vagrian Insight, which is the black one.
It's
Okay.
beautifully designed.
Thank
Did you
you.
have a
Thank
design
you.
in Italy?
No, I did it. I did
Oh,
it.
it's
I was a graphic
gorgeous.
designer at some other point, and yeah,
Okay.
my cat bit this one, so apologies for that.
And
And
what's the time?
this is Vagrian Insight.
Okay.
I was inspired to do a series of, I think, 12 live channelings on Insight Timer, the web app, and that became this book ultimately. And you can flip through this book to any page and read the chapter that's connected with it, and it talks to you about what's going on in your life right now. So, like, there's a chapter on balance, there's a chapter on future fortitude, there's a chapter on insights, there's a chapter on so many, just different topics, and it's really almost like an oracle book, but you can also read it cover to cover. It's not big. And it'll give you a lot. People tend to love that. They're very different because one is like, this is how to live life. The other one's like more the feminine side of things. I'm holding retreat in June. I still have 8 spots for the retreat. I don't know when this is going to be going out, this podcast.
It'll be probably what month is it? It's January in February.
Okay, so there might still be spots available for that because it is in June, and that's going to be a 3-night retreat, 4-day, 3-night retreat here in Italy in this beautiful town. And we're going to be going to dinners together. There's going to be many Vagrian sessions. There's going to be breath work and yoga. So I'm super excited about that. And it's a very small group of people. So I'm so excited about that project. That's what I've got coming up right now. You can find out both about the books and get some free chapters of the books over on my website, and the retreat details are on there. And that's www.jpherman.com. And you can book one-on-one sessions. You can book branic healing. There's lots going on there. So the best place to go is go over to the site. I also have a YouTube channel, and I'm trying to publish one video every couple days now. So that's my New Year's resolution. And there's tons of Vagrian content on there already.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you for all the work that you're doing and
Oh,
just
thank
for being
you.
so charming and delightful and for living in Italy so that all of us can experience it through you.
Well, you can also come and visit me directly. So,
Yeah, that would be lovely. Jessie, thank you for your time today. I hope you come back and see us sometime.
absolutely. Yeah, it'd be
All
lovely.
right. Okay. Thank
Thanks
you.
so much.
Bye now.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Journey to the New Earth podcast. We hope we've created a safe space for our listeners to find out more. Whether you're curious or have a deeper reason for joining our community, please share our podcast on your socials, and with a simple click to subscribe, we'll invite you back to our next episode. Remember, we're all in this journey to the new earth, so let's enjoy the ride.